the lawsuit, let's see, when they combined the locals, that's when the lawsuit started, is and basically the international just says, we're taking it. And that's what they did with all the ones across the country.
Taking the building, taking the money.
Just taking it, and very little fight. But, you know, few people realize that number one, they never did own the building. They never put a dime into it. You know, they had no right to own it. But if the officers of the union sign it over, and that's how they usually did it, is they say, we want you, we're going to take your charter, and we want every, you sign it over. But so they had to, the officers of the union had to sign in order for anybody to take it.
That was you at the time?
No, that's at this, I was out of business agent. I was back east.
So been Larry Mayo.
Well, Larry Mayo is, but Larry Mayo didn't have the authority to, because at the time he was no longer the business agent of 112, because 112, they, from the union point of view, no longer existed. But the Carpenters Union 112 that owned the building did.
Sure.
Because it's a state, you know, it's a state corporation. So he as an officer, and when I was a business agent, I was a business agent and the recording secretary. Had okay. Both jobs. I'm not sure what he was when he did it, but I know he signed some things, but it wasn't, there had to be, the trustees had to sign, and I think the trustees and the recording secretary, the treasurer, but they all had to sign, and they all didn't sign. You know, he signed, and so the international just thought, well, we'll just walk in just like we did every place else. They started taking stuff out of the hall. In fact, they took a lot of records out that are gone. So it stopped there, and then the lawsuit was filed to stop the international from taking over. And so the international, you know, got their feathers up and sent a couple of very expensive lawyers up here. And so the battle just went back and forth there. But the international had no, they didn't have a basis to stand on, because legally the corporation existed, the corporation owned the building, it was not part of the union. You know, it was, you know, outside of the fact that the union members were members of the corporation.
Yeah.
You know, and that's eventually, they kept holding it off and bringing meetings and shipping things up. And they knew they, you know, if, and it's a good thing that the guys here stuck with it, you know, because if they had given any kind of, you know, well, okay, well, you know, will give in kind of thing, they would have been able to take it. But they did take the money.
Right.
And that's, you know, which is another, a lot of people say we should have fought for the money too, but it was, the thing about it is you know, yeah, the money was actually 112's, but it would have been a long, drawn-out process. It would have been more expensive for us because they got more money to know what to do with. Mm. So in the long run, They got the building and some money. It wasn't a lot. I mean, you know, comparatively, it wasn't a lot. So this is the first big win in the country. No other union has ever been able to do that, because the international uses that we own the charter attitude. And that's the biggest thing that they fought on. They didn't care about that building. They would have gave it away for $60,000 is what they, but that was, it was the impression. You know, that, and we don't own, they do not own the buildings, and they don't own any of them except for the ones in California. International only own their own buildings. Hmm. Everybody else is owned by the corporation, but they've destroyed and took, and they took everybody's in the state now, I think. In fact, yeah, I know they did. So that was, and basically that's it. That was the one that's left. But they not only, I mean, they hurt the union here in Butte more than, I mean, the building itself, and I'm sure glad it was saved, but they hurt the union movement.